But I want to take a different look at the coming of Jesus, this gift that God gave to us. So many of us see him just as the baby, and that's all they think about is the baby Jesus. But there's so much more about him. And unfortunately, so many people just know him also as the baby Jesus. But as I was meditating on this, I was wondering what was really the greatest gift that Jesus came to give us. Was it to be a baby? Certainly that was a great gift. That he came to be born as one of us. God coming from heaven and being born just like one of us, and became one of us, and to identify with us and what we go through. Certainly a great gift. Also there was the death of Jesus, and some people just know Jesus on the cross, Jesus dying, and that certainly was a wonderful gift to all of us. But then there was Jesus, the resurrected one, the one that rose from the dead triumphantly. What a gift that was, and still is to us today, giving us new life in Christ. But he's also the coming King. It doesn't matter which way you look at him, what a wonderful gift he has been and will be and still is for us today. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. What that means is that Jesus didn't consider it a robbery to leave his Father's right hand and all the privileges of heaven and come to us and become like one of us. But it says that, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. What a sacrifice that was. You know, our reputation is often our most precious thing that we have. We fight to protect our reputation. And he came and he made himself of no reputation. And then he took on the form of a bondservant. Now, a bondservant is interesting because it is a voluntary servant. It's someone who becomes a servant because he chooses to. And Jesus chose to come as a servant. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, which is the death of a criminal. And so we see Jesus just going lower and lower and lower. He became born as a man. He took on the form of a servant. And then he took on a form of someone who died because of what he did wrong. Well, he never did anything wrong. Became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful thing Jesus did when he came. Didn't come to be served, didn't come as a king. You know, when you look at the Christian faith, this is the only God that gave himself. All the others demand. He came and gave himself. Identified with us. Didn't come to be served, but to serve. And this is what separates Christianity from everything else out there. God became man. And there's great significance in all of that for us, because he knows what we go through. Bible says he was tempted in everything just as we are. But he never sinned, which means he took the full pressure of every temptation without yielding to it, and became the sinless one. He understands when we are tempted, when we go through things, when we go through difficult times. Oh, he knows about that. He understands. He understands. So we are, and now the Bible says we have a high priest that has sympathy with us, because he knows what we're going through. What a gift that is for us to have a God that understands what we go through. And he doesn't come with condemnation. He comes with grace. He comes with love toward us. He gives himself. He knows that we're on our way to eternal death. He knows that. And he says, I will stop that. I will come and give you the gift of eternal life. So you don't have to die, but you can live forevermore. And he became that gift to us. And so, wonderful as it was when Jesus was born, now we cannot stop there. The gift is a gift that keeps on giving. It continues to give day after day, week after week, year after year, right after the time that we our bodies die, he continues to give the gift of God to man. Now Jesus, when he was born, we learn that he didn't come to do his own will. And I want us to want you to read with me from Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 5. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 5. It says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but the body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. To do your will. And he knew what God's will was. He was born to die. He was given a body that was destined to die a horrible and a cruel death. But he said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do your will. That was the only way that God could reconcile us with himself again, was for a sinless one to come and take our penalty away from us. And so Jesus came and he said, I didn't come to do my will. And nowhere do we see all through the Gospels where we read about him and his walk on the earth, do we see that he is looking to do his own will. And he declared himself, he said, I never say anything unless I heard my Father say it. I didn't come to speak my own mind. I didn't come to do my own thing. He says, I never do anything unless I see my Father do it. And as he grew up and as he walked the earth, the gift that he became to us was this. He showed us how to walk before God, how to put our trust in him. He showed us that when we put our trust in him, God is there every step of the way to back us up, to be there for us, if we put our trust in him. And he walked the earth, and he showed us that God is not far removed from us in heaven and someone that we should be scared of, but he is the God that we can call Father. And he became close to us. The Bible says, through his blood, we have access to the Father. We have access. And so God, in the Old Testament, was known as a God that we are scared of. The Israelites said to Moses, we can't stand the sight of him. We cannot hear his voice. You go listen to what he says, and then you can tell us. We're scared of him. They were running away from him. But now when Jesus came and he introduced him to us as Father, now we have a different relationship. And we can come to him. Just as we go to our earthly father, we have access to him at all times. The gift that he became as he walked the earth and showed us God is there for us. God's not there against us. He's not there to demand from us sacrifices and offerings all the time. But he's the one that reaches out to us because he cares about us, because he loves us, and because he wants to put his grace all over us. And he continues to show us what a gift he was. And then he went to the cross, and the most terrible thing for a sinless one to take on the sin of the world, all the ugly things we did, and say, I'll pay the penalty for that. You don't have to pay that. I'll pay the penalty for that. I will take care of that. You don't have to do that. And here we begin to understand slowly what love really, really means. Slowly we begin to see that what a great gift he has become for us. And I want to read from John chapter 12 and verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Can you imagine that? He calls his death to be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And he became that grain of wheat that fell into the ground and died, because he knew there would be a rich crop coming from that, as he was willing to lay down his life and pay the price for us so that we could live forever. But I want to move on to John chapter 15 and just read one verse there, chapter 15, John, and verse 13. And Jesus said, Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We just heard in the skit this morning that selfishness is an ugly thing. What an ugly thing is to just think of ourselves. We live in a world that has become so selfish. But here we have someone that comes and says, there's no greater love than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. And Jesus, from that, we also see that he doesn't see us as down there, outcasts and far away from God with no value in life. No, he says, you're friends. You're friends. He says, and I lay down my life for you. This is love. This is the God that we serve. One that's willing to pay that kind of a price to show us that he loves us. There's no love like the love of God. Because the love of God's without conditions. You know, human love always has conditions attached to it. But God says, I love you. No conditions attached to it. I love you. And he proved it by giving his son to lay down his life for all of us. And so Jesus became that gift that paid that penalty for us. And we look at him on the cross, and we see him suffering there, and we look at all the horror of it, and we remember he's that gift, because I should have been there. I was the one that sinned, not him. But now I don't have to, because somebody gave me the gift of paying the penalty, the death penalty for sin that separated me from God. Someone came and paid it for me because he loved me, and I don't have to pay it. And I realize once again, what a gift Jesus is for us, that we don't have to die eternally, because someone came and he cared so much for us that he paid the penalty, and now we can live. We don't have to fear death at all. Romans chapter 5, and with this I want to close. Romans chapter 5, and reading from verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Unlovely. Unlovely. God loves the unlovely, because he loves us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And now, we also have hope for eternity. There's an eternal hope that we have because of him. Because Jesus came and he paid that price. Now, you know, just looking at Jesus, looking at what he did, looking at how he lived, looking at all of that, just looking at the person, looking at his life. But we don't know the true day that he was born. We can speculate. And I was wondering about that. Why was that not recorded for us? And I realized, because God wanted us to look at everything that he became for us. That we should not just see him as a baby, we should see him as the man that walked the earth to demonstrate to us the grace of God and the love of God for humanity lost in darkness and sin. But we also should know him as the one who paid the penalty for our sins. And we also should know him as the one that was raised from the dead. And we celebrate his resurrection, but we also celebrate our resurrection from a life of death in sin. And we have hope for eternal future. And now we don't live a hopeless life, but we wake up in the morning and we have hope. We wake up in the morning and we know God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And we know that even if our body dies, we will live with him forever, because eternal life has been given to us. And we don't have to fear death at all, which is the great fear of man. So great is the fear of death, people don't want to talk about it. Don't talk with people about death. Don't talk about that. They're too scared to talk about it. But now we look beyond that and say we have no fear of death, because eternal life has been given to us. The gift of God to man. Jesus Christ, the righteous, that was willing to come and be born like one of us. Didn't look at leaving heaven, coming to earth as a robbery, something that was taken from him, because he gave it. Became a servant to us. And then lowered himself to the point of death on the cross. Because he had in mind that every one of us that would ever walk the earth. And the book of Hebrews tells us he could do that because he had his eye on the joy that was set before him. And now we learn from him that even if we go through difficult days, we can set our eye on the future and say, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm secure in him. I'm secure in him. God that became man, just like one of us. Now I want us to close our eyes just for a few moments. I don't know everybody. Maybe some of us have heard the story of the baby Jesus that he was born. And that's all we know about him. That's all we know. Maybe that's all some people know. We never realized that he came to show us how to live before God. As a son, and know God as Father, somebody that cares for us, somebody who will take care of and provide for us. We don't know him as such. Maybe we know Jesus on the cross, but we don't may not know that he died there to take away the death from us. That he died in our place. Maybe we don't know that he became the resurrected one that is not on the cross anymore. The cross is empty. And the grave is empty. Because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us. And it's a lovely verse there, I believe it's Hebrews 7:25, where it says that he always lives to make intercession for us. And now we have somebody right at the right hand of God that prays for us. Did you know that? That every day he intercedes for us. And the Bible says he can save to the uttermost. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how deep you have fallen. He can save to the uttermost. Now, if you have not received him yet, if you have not received him, if you have not opened your heart to him yet, if you just look down and look at him as a Christmas story, then this morning I wonder if you just want to open your heart and let him come in as the one that died in your place, as the one that was raised from the dead, conquering death, the fear of man, and seated at the right hand of God. And you want to open up your heart to the resurrected Christ, the glorious one, the conquering one. Say, I want to receive the gift that God gave to man. I want that gift. I want all of what he has for us. Everything that Jesus came to be for us, I want to receive that because God, that's what God gives to us. If you need to make that decision this morning, I want to just pray with you. All you need to do is just raise your hand very quickly and I'll pray with you. We don't want to put anybody on the spot. We just want to pray with you. God sees the hands. Thank you. And I want to pray with us this morning that the greatest gift we can ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift we can ever have. There's nothing and nobody as precious as him. Okay, let's pray. Father, we open our hearts to you this morning. And we know we don't look into the eyes of a God of wrath, a God that's angry because of our sins and our weaknesses. We know that we look up into the eyes of a loving Father, one that takes care of us, one that wants to be with us always, one that loved us so much that he gave his only Son. And this morning we open our hearts to receive everything that Jesus came to be for us. And I pray for those, Lord, that open their hearts and raise their hands, that the fullness of Jesus will take residence in those hearts. That from this day on, we follow him so that we also can live like a son and a daughter before you. And thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your presence with every one of us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that came. And I pray that he will continue to knock at the door of every heart until every heart is opened and to receive our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, our coming King. And we honor you and we bless you. And it's our joy to walk with you. It's a privilege to be in the household of God. It's a privilege above everything else. And may your name be magnified in every one of us, we pray. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.